We had stopped for the night, and I had nearly fallen asleep from fatigue when suddenly there was a gust of wind, and Don Genaro sprang up from the darkness right in front of me and nearly scared me to death. My first thought was one of suspicion. I believed that Don Genaro had been hiding in the bushes all day, waiting for darkness to set in before making his terrifying appearance. As I looked at him prancing around, I noticed that there was something truly odd about him that night. Something palpable, real, and yet something I couldn't pinpoint. He joked with me and horsed around, performing acts that defied my reason. Don Juan laughed like an idiot at my dismay. When he judged that the time was right, he made me shift into heightened awareness, and for a moment I was able to see Don Juan and Don Genaro as two blobs of light. Genaro was not the flesh and blood Don Genaro that I knew in my state of normal awareness, but his dreaming body. I could tell because I saw him as a ball of fire that was above the ground. He was not rooted as Don Juan was. It was as if Genaro, the blob of light, were on the verge of taking off, already up in the air, a couple of feet off the ground, ready to zoom away. Another thing I had done that night, which suddenly became clear to me as I recollected the event, was that I knew automatically that I had to move my eyes in order to make my assemblage point shift. I could, with my intent, align the emanations that made me see Genaro as a blob of light, or I could align the emanations that made me see him as merely odd, unknown, strange. When I saw Genaro as odd, his eyes had a malevolent glare like the eyes of a beast in the darkness, but they were eyes, nonetheless. I did not see them as points of amber light. That night, Don Juan said that Genaro was going to help my assemblage point shift very deeply, that I should imitate him and follow everything he did. Genaro stuck out his rear end and then thrust his pelvis forward with great force. I thought it was an obscene gesture. He repeated it over and over again, moving around as if he were dancing. Don Juan nudged me on the arm, urging me to imitate Genaro, and I did. Both of us sort of romped around, performing that grotesque movement. After a while, I had the feeling that my body was executing the movement on its own without what seemed to be the real me. The separation between my body and the real me became even more pronounced, and then, at a given instant, I was looking at some ludicrous scene where two men were making lewd gestures at each other. I watched in fascination and realized that I was one of the two men. The moment I became aware of it, I felt something pulling me, and I found myself again thrusting my pelvis backward and forward in unison with Genaro. Almost immediately, I noticed that another man standing next to Don Juan was watching us. The wind was blowing around him. I could see his hair being ruffled. He was naked and seemed embarrassed. The wind gathered around him as if protecting him, or perhaps the opposite, as if trying to blow him away. I was slow to realize that I was the other man. When I did, I got the shock of my life. An imponderable physical force pulled me apart as if I were made out of fibers, and I was again looking at a man that was me, romping around with Genaro, gaping at me while I looked. And at the same time, I was looking at a naked man that was me, gaping at me while I made lewd gestures with Genaro. The shock was so great that I broke the rhythm of my movements and fell down. The next thing I knew, Don Juan was helping me to stand up. Genaro and the other me, the naked one, had disappeared. I had also remembered that Don Juan had refused to discuss the event. He didn't explain it, except to say that Genaro was an expert in creating his double, or the other, and that I had had long interactions with Genaro's double in states of normal awareness without ever detecting it.
That night, as he has done hundreds of times before, Genaro made your assemblage point shift very deep into your left side, Don Juan commented after I had recounted to him everything I had remembered. His power was such that he dragged your assemblage point to the position where the dreaming body appears. You saw your dreaming body watching you, and his dancing did the trick.
I asked him to explain to me how Genaro's lewd movement could have produced such a drastic effect.
"You're a prude," he said. "Genaro used your immediate displeasure and embarrassment at having to perform a lewd gesture. Since he was in his dreaming body, he had the power to see the eagle's emanations. From that advantage, it was a cinch to make your assemblage point move."
He said that whatever Genaro had helped me to do that night was minor, that Genaro had moved my assemblage point and made it produce a dreaming body many, many times, but that those events were not what he wanted me to remember.
"I want you to realign the proper emanations and remember the time when you really woke up in a dreaming position," he said.
A strange surge of energy seemed to explode inside me, and I knew what he wanted me to remember. I could not, however, focus my memory on the complete event. I could only recall a fragment of it. I remembered that one morning Don Juan, Don Genaro, and I had sat on that very same bench while I was in a state of normal awareness. Don Genaro had said all of a sudden that he was going to make his body leave the bench without getting up. The statement was completely out of the context of what we had been discussing. I was accustomed to Don Juan's orderly, didactic words and actions. I turned to Don Juan, expecting a clue, but he remained impassive, looking straight ahead as if Don Genaro and I were not there at all. Don Genaro nudged me to attract my attention, and then I witnessed a most disturbing sight. I actually saw Genaro on the other side of the square. He was beckoning me to come, but I also saw Don Genaro sitting next to me, looking straight ahead, just as Don Juan was. I wanted to say something to express my awe, but I found myself dumbstruck, imprisoned by some force around me that did not let me talk. I again looked at Genaro across the park. He was still there, motioning to me with a gesture of his head to join him. My emotional distress mounted by the second. My stomach was getting upset, and finally, I had tunnel vision, a tunnel that led directly to Genaro on the other side of the square. And then a great curiosity, or a great fear, which seemed to be the same thing at that moment, pulled me to where he was. I actually soared through the air and got to where he was. He made me turn around and pointed to the three people who were